Part 1. The Boys. Chapter 1. 100 years ago, Biloxi was a bustling resort and fishing community on the Gulf Coast. Some of its 12,000 people worked in shipbuilding, some in the hotels and restaurants, but for the majority, their livelihoods came from the ocean and its bountiful supply of seafood. The workers were immigrants from Eastern Europe, most from Croatia, where their ancestors had fished for centuries in the Adriatic Sea. The men worked the schooners and trawlers, harvesting seafood in the Gulf, while the women and children shucked oysters and packed shrimp for 10 cents an hour. There were 40 canneries side by side in an area known as the Back Bay. In 1925, Biloxi shipped 20 million tons of seafood to the rest of the country. Demand was so great, and the supply so plentiful, that by then the city could boast of being the seafood capital of the world. The immigrants lived in either barracks or shotgun houses on Point Cadet, a peninsula on the eastern edge of Biloxi, around the corner from the beaches of the Gulf. Their parents and grandparents were Poles, Hungarians, Czechs, as well as Croatians, and they had been quick to assimilate into the ways of their new country. The children learned English, taught it to their parents, and rarely spoke the mother tongues at home. Most of their surnames had been unpronounceable to customs officials and had been modified and Americanized at the port of New Orleans and Ellis Island. In Biloxi cemeteries, there were tombstones with names like Jerkovich, Horvat, Konovich, Kasich, Rodak, Babich, and Peranich. They were scattered about and mixed with those of Smith, Brown, O'Keefe, Matina, and Beland. The immigrants were naturally clannish and self-protective. But by the second generation, they were intermarrying with the early French families and all manner of Anglos. Prohibition was still the law, and throughout the Deep South, most Baptists and Methodists righteously pursued the dry life. Along the coast, though, those of European descent and Catholic persuasion took a dimmer view of abstinence. In fact, Biloxi was never dry, regardless of the 18th Amendment. When Prohibition swept the country in 1920, Biloxi hardly noticed. Its bars, dives, honky-tonks, neighborhood pubs, and upscale clubs not only remained open, but thrived. Speakeasies were not necessary, because booze was so prevalent and no one, especially the police, cared. Biloxi became a popular destination for parched Southerners. Add the allure of the beaches, delicious seafood, a temperate climate, and nice hotels, and tourism flourished. 100 years ago, the Gulf Coast became known as the poor man's Riviera. As always, unchecked vice proved contagious. Gambling joined drinking as the more popular illegal activities. Makeshift casinos sprang up in bars and clubs. Poker, blackjack, and dice games were in plain view and could be found everywhere. In the lobbies of the fashionable hotels, there were rows of slot machines operating in blatant disregard for the law. Brothels had been around forever, but kept undercover. Not so in Biloxi. They were plentiful and serviced not only their faithful Johns, but police and politicians as well. Many were in the same buildings as bars and gambling tables, so that a young man looking for pleasure need only one stop. Though not flaunted as widely as sex and booze, drugs like marijuana and heroin were easy to find, especially in the music halls and lounges. Journalists often found it difficult to believe that such